Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
All right. He said he's grievously tormented. Next verse. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Next verse. For I am a man under authority. What that means is that I am a man that has been trained to recognize authority. That's what that means. Are we together? Are you here? I need you to follow me. Said, I am a man under government. I am a man under authority. And I have soldiers under me. And I said to this man, go. And he goes. And to another, come. And he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Next verse. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Now, me, I don't know what he's marveling about this one, because I have not seen anything special the man said. But for whatever reason, Jesus marveled. What's another word for marvel? He said unto them, now, Jesus responded, but he didn't talk to the man. He spoke to the people that were with him. And Jesus said, and please, you know, if you have been in this church long enough, this is 10 years, at least I can be mentioning that word, that number now. We are there. This is 10 years. For those of you that have been here long enough, you should know the way I emphasize certain things. Jesus said, and if my understanding of his choice of words are anything near accurate, it means that the next statement that comes from his lips are extremely important. Are you with me? So I need you to pay attention. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Verse 11. And I say unto you that many shall come. Come on, say many. He said, many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou as what? Come on, talk to me. Believe. So be it unto you. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. So I titled this short message, Living Under Divine Authority. Hallelujah. Now let's x-ray this story. I always like to think that all these stories are selected, chosen, put in scripture for a reason. Now, you may look at this story and the first thing that is coming to your mind is the miracle. No, that's the last thing. Please pay attention. So, the first thing I want to bring to your attention here is that the man that Jesus was discussing with was not Jewish. Please, this is very significant. This man, in quote, let me put it in modern language, the man Jesus was talking to was not born again. And Jesus was shocked that he found unusual demonstration of faith. Come on now. This kind of faith, we would have been excited if we found this type of faith amongst men of God. People who have worked with God for so long, people who have been faithful in their work with God, they have testimonies, they know why they should believe God. If this man was going to experience any testimony, any miracle, today would be the first day. But there was something about his ability to believe that many times when we preach from this scripture, we ignore that part. Are you here? Now, when we talk about faith, what are some of the things we normally refer to? We'll say that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord, right? And I've also taught you in this church that faith can be amplified by praying in the Spirit. Is that not so? The Bible says we should build up ourselves in the most holy faith by what? By praying in the Holy Ghost, which means that we have a measure of faith that has been given to us as Christians, and that faith can be built up. That faith can be strengthened when we pray in the Holy Ghost. But there was another indices, there was something else that came up here that I have rarely heard anybody talk about. So this brother, in quote, did not belong to the commonwealth of Israel, but he was able to use his influence as a military general, an officer, to get the attention of Jesus. The same way, you may be in a church and you are unable to see the pastor, but somebody, because he's the governor or he's the commissioner, and you are angry that he's using his might, pastor is giving him attention because he's the governor. No, I didn't start it. Jesus started it. All right? You could have been waiting on the queue. 10 people waiting. Then they say the governor is outside. I won't say no, tell him to go and queue. No, I won't say that. I could have said that in the first 9 years. But now, you may not see me fighting any government again, because I'm getting old. All right? Because that, if Jesus was going to build a church in Capernaum, who do you think will drop the first 1 million naira? It will be that general. And Jesus will recognize him. All right. So, some of you will be angry now. It's not me. Take it up with Jesus. Do you know that when that man came to Jesus, Jesus was not alone? There were people with him. But for some reason, he was able to get the attention of Jesus, not for anything but his influence. There are doors that we only open to you based on your earthly influence. And this is so important. Do you know that, even though I've said many times in this church that, except you have heard that my dead father rose up from the grave and you saw him at Ojota around 2 a.m. and he's saying, he's looking for my house, that you should not call me. Have you not heard me say it? And I mean it. So that's my way of saying, don't wake me up. Because even my dad is long dead. I'm not sure I'll be the first person he'll be looking for if he comes around. But do you know that there are people in this church and outside this church, if they call at 2 a.m., I will not ask them, why are you calling me? Claude, the first thing I will ask is everything all right? And I'm telling you, it is not just about being a pastor. Whether you are in business or whatever sphere of you are involved with, there is something about the influence a man can have that removes barriers in front of you. So for those of you that, especially people who work in tech, they focus so much on doing their job and being good at it, they don't worry about climbing the leadership, through the leadership cadre. So they remain there. They are very good. But over time, they become frustrated because they didn't be... You now realize, okay, I'm good, so what? I'm telling you that for this guy to be a captain or a general, he must have gone to wars, he must have been faithful. And he got the attention of Jesus. If that man, despite the fact he was not born again, but he was popular with the world, if that man, and I will tell you one more reason why Jesus must have given him attention. If that man could get the attention of Jesus, let me tell you today, the influence around your name matters. And let me tell you something about influence. You are better off building influence with somebody or a group of people who are just starting. Come on. Are you here? If you are trying to build your influence with somebody who is 87 years old and is writing a book on how we destroyed Nigeria, I hope you know that influence is close to the grave. The man is trying to make peace with his conscience, but I am here to tell him that his sins are not forgiven. Writing a book and confessing will not account for the lives that were lost to our June 12th. The fight and the whatever broke out in the city of Lagos and across Nigeria, you're writing a book and say you won. It's either you don't understand the concept of forgiveness. You are confessing to the wrong. You are confessing to the wrong person. You need to stand before God and receive mercy from Him before writing anything. You just speak up and you still collected 17 billion. Are you really sorry, or you came to sell a book and still counting? Some of you have been working for 5 years. Have you seen 1 billion in your life? But we are talking about influence here. After destroying Nigeria, he still wrote a book and walked away with 17 billion. Even if you accuse him that he's owing Nigeria, out of that money, he just pay you back your money. You know how much am I your daddy? Take. Your mommy take with interest. And if he begins to spend 1 billion every year, I'm not sure he will be around. He will still leave some change around. So we need to understand how this thing works. Everybody who has destroyed this country or currently destroying this country was in that meeting. Are you still here? You see, the problem is that you people have redefined what a pastor, a prophet should be. A prophet is not supposed to say nice things to the government. If you are misbehaving, they just tell you. For whatever reason, Ahab was afraid of Elijah, for whatever reason. And you can imagine why. Because Ahab is a sinner. But there was one other reason that the scripture told us about this man. They appealed to Jesus to attend to him. In one of the renditions, they say because he built a temple for the Jews. One of these gospels, when you read it, Jesus was going, this man is a good man. Oh. Forget that. You know, forget about the old story. The Romans were there to colonize them. Oh. Forget about all these, we are in your midst. The Romans were in Israel to colonize the Israelites and take them away, introduce their gods. You know, the thing about Babylon is that Babylon will take you away from your land, introduce their gods. The problem with Romans is that they will bring the gods to you.
So you will be under judgment and condemnation in your God-given territory, and you will not know why things are not working. And you need to look for those type of people in your life. People that will tell you, leave what you are doing, come. And people that will say, don't worry, I'm coming to you. Are you still here? That man built a temple, and they used that as a case to appeal to Jesus that, Baba, Oko church, wow. If you can do anything, the other man, Jairus, he did not build anything, but you still helped him. This one, assist him. And Jesus listened, though. John Belloro. Let me interpret that. John Belloro. How do you explain that? I said, there's... No. If I say judgment, it's like saying when we get to heaven, talk good day. The people you thought they labored because they were jumping up and down, you will now realize that everything they did, God did not reckon with it. The one that you people said was a centurion, that he was not born again, built a church, and Jesus recognized it. Who told you your works don't matter? Was the man sent by his government, the Roman Empire, to build a temple? Is it part of his KPI? He performed. He has been doing well. What do you think Caesar wants to be hearing? That he's killing people, forcing them to obey. The man came and said, I like this, their religion. I'm learning, I'm blessed. I went there, these people, let me build church for them. Do you think that decision must have been of the flesh? To build a temple for the people he was sent to colonize. Do you think that decision came from the flesh? Do you know that there was a king called Cyrus that God moved to assist Israel in their sojourn to their back to their fatherland? There was a king that, what was that? Is it Nehemiah that used to serve, that released him to go back and rebuild the temple and the wall? Why do you think that God cannot use an unbeliever? Somebody wants to help you, say, because his name is Abdul Malik. You better take the help. That one that is called Tobias will not help you. It's Abdul Malik that will help you. Farabale, just calm down. When you read scriptures like the ways of our God are past finding out, this is it, oh. How, if you are too set in your ways, you may miss the mercy of God. You'll be quoting the word of God to him, but your word says, you will die here. Let Abdul Malik drop you at the next street or junction. You are here quoting no unbeliever, the word of the unbeliever. Hey, this particular unbeliever is not about to give you his word. You better enter his bus and stop at the next bus stop of your career. Of your career. You are here and say, the judgment of God, Oga. Since the day you have been praying, that man has released a book now, 17 billion. He did not die. I hope you are flowing with this story. Are you here? This is the way I read the Bible. I know you do daily guide and daily manner. This is the way I read my own Bible, and it's working for me. I translate my Bible into modern day scenarios. That if Jesus walked into this place today and there was a man. I remember, did you see the picture of that brother that I said I prayed for? 27 years barrenness on my status. That's the brother. It's a Dangote dealer. That man is over 50 something years. And he has sponsored other people's children through university, but he's having his own for the first time. When he hears Amara, he will request for permission, call Pastor Bara, call Pastor Tim, and says, please, can he come? Church people, I'm not saying you should worship man, no. But you see, when you see all this, did you see the video of the governor of Edo State going to greet in one ceremony, the Oba of Benin? Who saw it? I saw it online, this new governor. There was a ceremony in Benin City. What's the name of that Oba? Is it Opolopolo? I don't. Or to Oba Tokpaye. Who is your top? Polo. Is it the same one? Is it the same one? The for Bini. The governor who has the power to remove the king, the Oba. May our familiarity not cost us what we can't account for. This is where the Oba is seated. The governor is coming on the red carpet. Please, did anybody see this video? Go online on Facebook. And the governor got to a place like this. Huh? That's the governor. He knelt down and started using his knees. Yeah. Huh? Oh! When he got to where the king was, he could not even come. He couldn't. Ah! He was wearing white or something. He used his knees. What do you call all those people? They were with him. He told them to stay back. He went on his knees, started dragging himself towards the king, and the king was laughing. I'm talking about living under divine authority. You see, Jesus. I want you to be thinking, the children of this world, they are many times wiser. They will tell you, you are stupid for serving your God. They will tell you, you are not wise for tithing. They will tell you, God doesn't spend money. Go and see where they put their money and how much they are putting there. You will be shocked. A old governor, he could have easily walked there and done like this. Nobody will blame him. 21st century, 2025, went on his knees with white, wearing white, and started dragging himself and considered the king too holy. He couldn't go close to him. He now got here and did like this and was doing like this, and the king just stretched his hand to him. Ah! I say, my God, we have lost something. I'm trying to look deep into why Jesus would consider to help a centurion and why many are praying. And it seems as if, like, God is far away. You see, when you read that story, you can easily read through and miss out on certain things. That guy was an honorable man. That centurion, that man had feathers to his military uniform. He wasn't a small boy. By the grace of God, he has earned his rank. Just the same way some of you have earned your ranks in certain areas. There are places you go to now. They will have to clean and wipe the seat again before they allow you to sit on it. Because you have attained a certain level of influence and power and recognition. That was the state that Roman soldier was. That Roman soldier was so powerful. You know, he could actually have asked his soldier, pick this man up. And they will hasten his crucifixion. They will kill him there. Chebi, the plan was for him to die. Abi? And resurrect. That man can hasten it. But Onishoro, the man had a problem. No matter how great a man is, there are things that come into your life, you become a man again. You know, people call you great man, emeritus, is this, is that. But when certain challenges come to your life, you remember that you are a man. As I was driving to church this evening, I was just looking at, you know, folks on the road, just walk. Some people are just walking to their, maybe selling things. Some are walking, some just talking in the car. And it just hit me again that we are all ordinary. It hit me that we are all ordinary. All these things that people attach to us, you can take them off. Men can take them from you. God can take them from you. Satan can even strip it off if he was the one who gave it to you. That when you really look at yourself, you are nothing except what God has called you. That's why a man who has everything, a man that you cannot be president in Nigeria without going to his house, is having a crisis of conscience. You will go to bed at night. He can't sleep. Because now he's remembering that he took away somebody's father. When that man died, when he locked that man up, that was somebody's father. That was somebody's husband. There were people that were looking up to that man that you locked up there. There were companies, several companies that man started. And that is why in Nigeria, because many of us don't understand spiritual things, we make statements that even Satan is amazed at. Is it that these people don't study the Bible or what? Because, you know, Satan has read the Bible and he's surprised that his Christians talking like this. Let me tell you. This is not my message. I don't know who pushed me here today, but when the Civil War happened, the Igbo people lost all their wealth. In fact, they converted, I think it was, they converted the exchange rate of the Biafran dollar and rendered every Igbo man. They took, so they were, do you know this? Is it WAEC office in Yaba? That WAEC office, close to Yaba Tech. Do you know that property belongs to Juku? Where? Now, I wouldn't even know if the property was relocated. But where in Yaba you have WAEC office is owned by Ojuku. The government confiscated that land. And the land of every Igbo man who had anything like money, they took it from them. Now, assuming I am just an Igbo man from Ohafia that came to Lagos or went to Ibadan and I was doing my legitimate business, I did not cause quarrel with anybody. And then because my people decided to shout, "Oh Biafra, oh Biafra," you now came to my house, beat me. Nothing can be more shameful than to beat a man in front of his children. Maybe even arrested me. Took all my lands and businesses and money, and all Igbo people, wherever across Nigeria, became poor. They started from scratch. You, that they didn't take anything from you. Your parents, your generation, they are still where. Now you are here praying, "Lord, Lord, hey, you repent Nigeria." Let's say, which pastor is praying that prayer? Without repentance. Have you ever heard of the doctrine of restitution before? Restitution means that when you take something from somebody and you return it, don't say you are sorry, return it. Is it not in your house? Go and bring it. I've been using it for 5 years. Go and, the way it is now, go and bring it. Then kneel down and say you are sorry. Nobody talks. When Pastor Kumi started shouting restitution, people shouted on him, "Hey, are you saying if I've written WAEC before, and now I'm now a Christian, that I should go and write WAEC?" Do you know then there were many Christians, not only in Deeper Life, many, Sesu, did you hear about this kind of people who went to WAEC office and said they wanted to return the certificate because they cheated? That was the time Christianity started booming. What kind of people are these? That there is a spirit in you that will not allow you sin and compel you to do the right thing. Huh? So Christianity was spreading on the grounds of righteousness, not concert, not presco. That's why today it seems that we are more, but we are weak. The texture of the fabric, God can't do anything with it. Even Satan can't touch it. I'm talking about that brother because I want you to see some of the considerations that must have necessitated Jesus to say, "Let me." You know, did you think wherever Jesus was going to was not important? Jesus said, "Let me follow you. Let me go and heal him." The man said, "You don't need to come." That man understood that if this man is anything like I've heard, he spoke to blind eyes and they saw. He asked the deaf man. He spoke to a deaf man. The deaf man heard him. Which means When he spoke to the deaf man, the deaf spirit ran away and allowed the ear to function. He spoke to people who could not walk, people whose body were twisted, and they were healed. If this man is as powerful as he is under government. One running, he was sent. This man cannot be doing this thing he's doing without backup. And Jesus also laid claim to that statement. Say, I can of myself do nothing. If Jesus said that, why do you think your intellect, the school you went to, is good enough for God? Huh? I'm not saying you should not go to school. I say, why do you think God needs to use it? If Jesus, with everything he had, said, I cannot even heal a man with headache simply because I want to. He said, as I hear, I judge, which means for me to touch you, I must first see that God is willing to do it. When Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda and he saw many people who were sick, but he only healed one man. That was the person he saw. Does God want to heal everybody? Yes. Will he? No. The man he went to heal, did the man even have faith? That man by the pool of Bethesda, was he speaking in tongues when Jesus got there? Was he praying for divine encounter? Was he praying that God, was this what? The man was at his lowest level. I'm trying to redefine another kind of faith for you. Because some of you have allowed people around you push you down to give you a kind of impression that you don't have faith because you are not like them. Please, are you with me, sir? Are you here now? There might be a centurion here today, tonight, and I want to speak to that person. You have enough faith. That man, even though you will never find him going up and down with Jesus, you will never see him in any of the crusades. Maybe most times he just sees Jesus on YouTube, or he sees Jesus on Instagram. This man is so powerful. I wish I can see him. The same way we see 13 people online that ordinarily would not have known they existed, is the same way the man was hearing about Jesus. Jesus, the man who goes to anywhere he goes to where people are weeping, they will start laughing. Anywhere. There was nowhere Jesus went to and people did not laugh. It was his desire. It would have been a great blessing for Jesus to have entered his house. But the man knew that for this man to be going to Sokoto, he must have a major appointment there. And if my commander in the army is on his way to a particular location, a junior officer cannot tell him to change course. Are you here? Are you here? Did you catch that? A junior officer cannot tell. Do you know the chief of army staff was here yesterday? Here. Your Gakpalakpata. He was here. So one of my colleagues went to receive him. Yeah, so I have big friends. Call my friend. Her husband is a brigadier general. The Bible says he will give his angels charge. You think angels want to hear who is right and wrong? Angels come to support the person that God sent them to support. They don't. They say, because you are wearing green. You may be wearing white. They will creep you. You may be wearing white, up, down, and be kneeling down, be crawling. They will creep you. The one wearing red, they will give him seat. Or black. It's amazing. Sometimes when I think of it, I'll be laughing alone. I can't share the joke with you because it won't be funny to you. This brother said, I want you to come and heal my servant. Again, I have a consideration there. Look at how far the man went for a servant. How far? But can I ask, do you probably reckon that servant could have been Jewish? Could have been Jewish. Israeli. Not from his country. Because in those Roman people, they believe they are elite. They are an elite culture. So they will get some of the people in the nation to work as servant. That man never probably looked down on anybody under him. That man loved that servant. That man wanted that servant to be well. That man stopped what he was doing to go towards where he heard a rumor that Jesus was there to beg Jesus because of a servant. I want you to see that when you say you don't have faith, God is looking for elements of faith in your motive. Your motive. Don't be bamboozled by Pastor Tokpe. Pastor Tokpe, he has been growing his faith for 29 years. You, most times when God wants to help you, you'll be looking at your life. Where have you ever been to the, I mean, it has happened to me. The doctors will be looking for your vein. They can't find it. Eh? Instead of them to send you, have you seen cases where they pick the vein from the back of the neck? Have you seen videos or heard of it? They picked the vein behind the leg because they must find something. God is looking for anyhow to help you. God is not looking for a reason to send you away. He said, if any man comes to me, I will in no wise cast it. Oh, goodness. Did you hear that scripture? Jesus said, if any man, if any sinner, if any fornicator, if any bishop, if any murderer, if any abortionist, if you can find your way to where I am, I will not send you back. The problem is, will you make it to that point before Satan discourages you? Before Satan convinces you that you are not the man Jesus is looking for? Before you allow your guilty conscience to decide your case before meeting your maker? Before you start writing books to lift the burden on your conscience, which those books will now wait for you in eternity as judgment. If it was a decent country, he would have been arrested immediately. All the evidence is there. And tried for treason. If it was a decent country, that tells you the caliber of people you put there. That tells you that you don't have a nation yet. If there was a righteous man there, why should you be there? On what ground? Somebody said this and you sat there and you gave money. Oh! Huh? Yes! So if EFC's concert, I said I gave it for the book. You remember that book, 17 billion, I gave that money. Will you go and ask the man, sorry, can you confirm how much he gave? Do you know the man that has already confessed all this crime? You want to ask him that? I said, okay, he said he gave the money back to charity. Go. I'm trying to tell you that your little faith, God can work with it. Don't be discouraged. That little faith you have is enough for God. God is not saying, oh, your faith is small. He said, even if your faith is as small, as a what? Mustard. Hey, I need a grain of sand. As a grain of sand. He said what? You will move mountains. That's how basic God made the condition. Listen to me. You have everything you need. You have everything you need to develop your relationship with God. You have everything you need to take your relationship with God to the next level. I know you may be struggling. Don't worry. I said you have everything. Listen to me. You have everything. You may not believe it. You have everything. There were many people who were walking with Jesus and they were touching him. It was just one woman that touched him and she got healed. 12 years problem. What was the difference? Some wanted to stand for the camera. Some wanted to stand. So they say we are the one walking with him. Even Peter, the head of the church, didn't receive anointing that day. Peter. The one that Jesus was telling Gabriel, that's the next man. That one was doing shadow boxing. He said, hey, please, don't touch. Don't touch. Like, I will go and preach. Sorry. When the anointing is moving, they will now form circle. If the anointing is for the people, why are you preventing? You are doing usher. You will not let me. You are not here for the anointing. You will not allow me to pray for those who need the anointing. Say, we don't want them to grab you. If they grab you, they can tear that this place is violent. They can tear your shirt. I say, but you invited me now. You knew that my life was at risk and you still invited. You are now forming an 11-man panel ring to protect me. Say, yeah, just touch us more. Say, sister, stand where. Just touch. Say, are you people playing? Or is it, are you here to minister? You have not ministered in a place where they, when they couldn't touch you, they carried you. They carried you home. The person, out of frustration, say, if they won't let me touch you, just push him, but just carry the man of God. I'll run away with you. Say, Brother Matthias, bring the man of God back. Say, no, until he pray for me. Hallelujah. Are you blessed tonight? Please let me tell your neighbor, you have enough faith. Tell your neighbor, you have something that God can work with. Don't look down on your faith. Please let me tell your neighbor, don't look down on what you have now. Now, let's wrap up. The brother, you know, Jesus, when Jesus said, look, I'm going to come to your house. You know, the funny thing is that Jesus could have been hungry. That's what people didn't know. If you notice, have you ever read anywhere in scripture where Jesus ate at his own house? Hey, King Kavari. I say, if Jesus comes to your house, he has planned that that's where we eat his lunch. Okay, you see, not getting it. That kind of man, we cook good food. More so, once the person is healed, they will cook good food. Very good food. And even give him takeaway. You are looking at me as if I'm committing blasphemy. I say, okay, I've asked you now. Did you read anywhere in the Bible that Jesus ate? Okay, did you even read that he had a house anywhere? One man said, I must follow you. I love you. I have encounter. I follow you. Oh, you just be following under the anointing. Well, the pastor doesn't have a house. So he has nowhere to lay. He said, after this revival now, I don't know where I will sleep. Sky ministry. I'm going back to my Anglican church. The pastor said, no, get where they sleep. Any day come, go there. We'll attend a special program. Jesus just tested him small. Just where people come to church. Pastor, I feel it. The anointing. They'll come here and be telling me. It's a lie. They won't come the next day. Pastor, it's urgent. I've deleted WhatsApp. I've deleted it. I will not see it. One of our great bishops in Winners Church say he doesn't use WhatsApp. The man at Ibadan that retired say he doesn't use WhatsApp. When he now downloaded WhatsApp by mistake one day, I think the thing just, there's a way he just notified everybody that Bishop is on. They just saw his number. He showed, Bishop, people now start saying, Daddy is good to have you here. Kelele, he deleted the thing again. Waiting. It had never even let me rest one day. People just saw that. Papa, Bishop, Daddy, so good to have you here. Daddy, good if it's kill. What is this? I beg, Coco, how do you use the detail? Delete the thing, I beg. If you want to talk to me, call my line. Kill her. Just one day. See, this is why people are going through. I beg. I know they do WhatsApp again. The brother, after telling Jesus that there's no need for you to come to my house. And I thought the brother was being humble. I realized that statement was born out of a man that was living under government. I cannot receive my superior officer like this. You are a man on a mission. All you need to do is to send your word is as effective as your presence. Your word is bankable. I can take it to the bank. Your word is enough for me. And Jesus made a statement, Pastor David. He said, I have not seen this kind of faith, not even among the people of God. And that is a shame. That the people who believe the word of God and they come here, that brother that I said was looking for a child for 27 years, when he got to my hotel room downstairs, they called me upstairs. They said, there's a man downstairs looking for me. I said, I was expecting. I said, let him come in. From my door, he went on his knees. I was confused. I thought I would just open the door and say, welcome. He came with our pastor in Benin. He went on his knees. Told his wife, oh yeah, go on your knees. Say, daddy, daddy, daddy. Ah, if not for you, daddy. I say, hey, get up, get up. He say, hey, get up. Hey, what time is this? At 50 what? No, 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 no. Ah, he said, daddy, this is your baby. Take, 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 take. I was seeing the baby for the first time. 4 months. Oof. Ah, then it occurred to me. Ah, that's why you can be looking for something for 27 years. And once, I didn't even tell him to fast. I didn't tell the guy to fast. The guy didn't even have what it took to have faith. I'm telling you that what many of us call unbelief is faith. When I was praying for him, he was crying. He was telling me, he said, I have nowhere to go. That herbalists have used him, dumped him. He didn't hide it. He said, I have baited at the river. They have taken me to several places. He said, I don't know where to go again. This is my church. This is my church. That's what he was saying. I looked at him. I said, let me pray for you. He started crying. I said, no, why are you crying like a woman? I said, stand. He said, he couldn't control himself. You know, there's a way life will undo you. When they ask you, how are you, you just start crying. Has it ever happened to you before? Oh, it has happened to you. Is there another person that it has happened? When people ask you that, how are you, you just start crying. Meanwhile, when they look at you, they think you are okay. They will say, ah, mama, how are you? Yeah, mama, what happened? Come sit down, come sit down, come sit down. What happened? One short prayer, 27 years by now, boom. Meanwhile, somebody else will be fasting. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hey, oh, God. God, you will break down my door and you want me to answer. Go and sit down. The way you are praying, you will break something here. This flat screen is expensive. Don't pray here. Come and stand here. Because the way you are doing, you break something and you cannot pay. And you are still looking for a child. So Michael will not throw you out of anger. If everything was broken, you will not see where to stand. So go out. Okay, go and meet. Tell your pastor. I say she'll call me. Go home. The way I'm looking at this person, he's very violent. He will break something. He's a man of fire. I now saw something, Pastor David, that just say, eh. When I come to God as one that is under his government, when I come to God as I am yours. You are mine. I don't have any insurance. So I don't have any money anywhere. I don't have any hope apart from you. I am yours. Just say a word. Come on, say it. Just say a word. Say a word. Say a word. Say, just say, well, if you tell me that it will be all right, I believe. That's what the man was saying. The man was saying, Jesus, just tell me it will be all right. I'm going through a lot. Just tell me this problem I'm going through will be all right. That's what the man was saying. He didn't want anybody to massage him. He just said, Jesus, just tell me all of this will be over soon. That's what he was saying. Does that sound like a man that has faith? That sounds like a man that is hoping to hope. See, just say a word. Just say a word. If it is prayer, we have prayed. If it is sowing, we build church. But right now, we are not even looking at all those things. Master, I am yours. I have no other person. Just, you know, there's a way you pray. Ah, God's heart will move. Say, go. Your servant is well. Can you imagine that this is why some people say, hey, thank you, Master. Oh, yeah. Hey, Claro, they come. Oh. Tell Mama Prishi, Jesus, they come. Jesus, may they cook. May they cook. The man you are coming to pray for can die before Jesus will get there. Some people get so lost. But the man that has been trained as a soldier knows the power of the words of a superior officer. And this thing I'm sharing with you will change your life if you catch it. So that even when you are fighting and you are dealing spiritually, you are doing it from a place of knowledge and assurance that he that has brought you this far will not leave you alone. You are God's project. And God has not, God will not allow Satan to have the final say. Doesn't matter what man we say. Man is just what they are, men. That's what they are. Men. Men. And the Bible says, woe is he that put his trust in man. Or his confidence in horses, strength. David said, but we will put our trust in what? In the name of our God. Tonight, this is the last Bible study before we cross over into our tent here. Let me tell you something. Yeah, you can clap. And when this church was going to start, the week before, all I knew was that he said, go and start. I didn't know who would come to church that Sunday. I didn't know that a few years later I would meet Pastor David. I didn't know I would meet Pastor Tokwe. I didn't know I would meet Toyin. I didn't know that Pastor David, who has been in my life many years in the past, would come again. I didn't know I would meet Kemi. I didn't know I would meet Shadia. I didn't know I would meet Gospel. I didn't know I would meet her mommy here. I didn't know I would meet Isaac. I didn't know I would meet Kemi. I didn't know that Sesu, who I've known in the north, would come here. I didn't know that Mama would be here. I didn't know that Favor would be here. I didn't know that Alfred would be here. I think that's Alfred's sister. I can see Alfred. I can see Toyin here. I can see him there somewhere at the back. I didn't know that they'll be here. My son was just very young. And all he said, when I went to the redemption camp to seek him before we started, after 3 days, he didn't show me any vision. I didn't hear any thunder, any. All I just heard was a witness in my heart that says, go, I will be with you. And it has taken so much from me. Don't even let start. But this is 10 years. All right? And there is none of my compares who started ministry the year I started banking. No, I did 12 years in the bank. So if I had started pastoring, then this would have been 22 years. And then people would be calling me the youngest bishop. But I was like a man born in due time. You heard Pastor Desmond when he came here the last time. He said it was as if we just started, pew, and we left everybody in the dust. One of my friends wanted to buy a property for their church. So I in Ibadan. So I was talking to him and he said, I asked him, I said, how much is it? He said, maybe 7 million. You laughed too, have you? I now laughed. I laughed so hard. He now said, I know why you are laughing. He said, that's it. But you know why I was laughing? The first Sunday of this church, we paid 150,000. That was all we had. No drum. Apart from peace, there was no choir. There was nothing to do in the church, just opening prayer, worship, word. Service starts 12 or so. 12 p.m. or there, 11:30, 12. And not more than 10, 8, 10, 12, including my children. Anytime my house help is going home, I'll be angry. Because that means that if I was supposed to be 12, it would be 11. She didn't know why I was always angry. I said, what are you going to do in Surulere? What are you? She just go up and down. Stay! You can sleep here if you want to sleep. I said, oh, God, allow this girl go where she won't go. When we come like that, when we see some people in the church, we know that there's nobody coming again. We lock the door and begin to do what we do. We didn't have so many. We didn't have a guitar fire. What do you need guitar for? This kind of chair. The first set of chairs we used was given to us by Pastor KG Ajayi.
in somewhere at Magodo. The first pulpit we used there was a gift from that church. We didn't have anything. All we had was go. But today, this church has paid the school fees of pastors who belong to other churches. You understand? People who have not earned one naira in 11 months serving God, and they come here. I say, no. It's and without praying, take. And you see the tears in their eyes. This church has supported missionaries. You remember our brother that came from the north through Pastor Godia? Huh? And other people. But when we started, all we knew was, just go. And God's servant, Pastor Ayo, while in a meeting, he just told me, he said, the angel of the Lord is standing behind you. Stand up. And I stood up. That was the first prophetic streams meeting. The funny thing about that meeting is that Pastor Ayo didn't even have money. So we were trying to pay for the hall. Before Pastor Ayo prophesied to me, he called me outside the meeting. People were singing and clapping. He said, Joba, that's how Pastor was talking. How much do you have? I said, like, how can you be asking for money, Pastor? He said, he needs like 30,000. I said, okay, take. Benga, God bless you. God bless you. At least use this one to settle the all, part of the all. I said, okay, thank God, though. I did not know that day was for me. Where I was sitting hiding at back, he just said, I see the angel of the Lord there. Say, who is there? Benga, stand up. Say, the Lord said, go and start like that. Like this, as you look, say, go and start. And that's what I responded to. And this is 10 years. Amen. It's 10 years. Listen to me. God's word is enough for you. God's word is powerful. Listen to him. If God says, I will give you a brand new life, hold it. Huh? He will redeem it. He's not someone to chicken out. I say God is not someone to run away. God doesn't run away. When he says something, he will stay there. If God says you will have a child, if he says you will have twins, go and write it down. He has done it for those who are 27 years barren. And listen, as we begin a new chapter as a church, our eyes will see glorious things. If they have wondered at how we got to this junction, then they should get ready. Because from now, the kings of this earth, in different skin complexions, they will come here. They will say, we have heard that God is with you. And they will come. And they will say, we want what you have. Can you bring revival to us? Can you come and help us? Can you be the apostle to Macedonia? And listen to me, this is not a prophecy for me. It's a prophecy for us. That now, among us here, the gates of nations will be open. We will now go and come as we like. I said we will go and come as we like. I said we will now go and come as we like. And there shall be nothing to hinder us again. In the name of Jesus. 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 Listen to me. You might be another centurion here. But listen to me. The word of the Lord is with you. Your servant will not die. That which you owed precious to you. That vision. That business you started. That project. That thing you have started that you put in God's hands. It will not die. People are waiting for it to die so they can say, well, it's part of life. Jesus said it will not die. I say Jesus said it will not die. There is nothing the Lord has started that he will not perfect. So I bring you a word today on the strength of this scripture that the agenda of heaven, the plan of God over your life will not be aborted. Even for those of you that are listening online, I say the plan of God will not be aborted. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you because you have made us people of faith. Thank you because even the least among us is a man of faith. Is a woman of faith. And we thank you, Lord, because there is nothing you have said to us that will not be fulfilled. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for everyone that you have given us in this house. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that has passed through these walls. I thank you, Lord, for those that are yet coming. And we say this is our season of rest. This is our season of rest. From today, we march forward and we take the city and we will not be weak. For you will multiply us and we will not be few. You will glorify us and we shall not be small. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.